I'm Mark Purcell, and this is the Book Club at 91.7. Thanks for listening on this Saturday morning. On the phone with me from England is Tom Jackson. He's a science writer with many books and articles to his credit, but today he's here to talk about the Ponderables series. It's a look, as they say, at the who, did, what, when. The Ponderables, a series of books about science and more. Tom Jackson, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Well, thank you very much for having me on.
I love this format, Tom. You have 100 discoveries that changed history and various different sciences. You began with mathematics, and then there's the elements and the universe and physics, and now philosophy. And you were saying just before we went on the air, you're working on one about the brain right now. How did this concept all come together a few years back?
Oh, that's always a difficult question to answer. I was in touch with the right publisher, really. I have a history of writing popular science books, and along the way, I came across all sorts of great stories about the people that made all the discoveries. And frequently, the books that I was working on, there wasn't really the room for that kind of content. It was just straight science. And so there was always, always had in mind this kind of idea, and I was allowed to do it.
So you're given permission, Tom, and you just decided to put these together, or was this a concept you had in mind for a while? Because this really does explore each of these subjects in a very in-depth manner, and in a manner that's very attractive to, well, I guess you could say, for the young and the old.
That's right. Yeah, we say from 8 to 80, but of course, if you're over 80, you're still allowed a reason. Books are always a collaboration. I'm the name on the cover, and I wrote all the words, but there's lots of other people who have their say. The thing that I really like about it is that not only do you get to learn about chemistry, the elements, or physics, or the science of astronomy, and just coming out now is the philosophy book. Not only do you get to learn all that, as you would maybe the listeners have done that in the past, they've been in lessons and at college, they've come across these sort of subjects, but what you don't often get is how they came to be, and so the history of those subjects. So what we can do in the Ponderables is that we build the knowledge from way back in the past, and we take 100 steps to get up to the latest state of the science or whatever the subject is. And along the way, you see who did what when, which is the subtitle, and the mistakes that they made and how they built on each other's discoveries to build the next step along the way. So you get the big picture, which is the bit that always interests me. I mean, I quite like the science. I obviously do like the science, but I also really, really like the history of it and all the connections that run through the story of the science.
Well, and it's interesting to see. I know when I was going through the mathematics volume of Ponderables that it's nice to be reminded of all the things I learned but have forgot. Did you find that the same as you were working on these books?
Sure, yes, yes. With the mathematics one, I had some help from other writers because it wasn't so much that I'd forgotten them, it's just that I probably didn't understand them as fully as was possible. I mean, the kind of thing that you learn at school, you get to, you know, they teach to the curriculum, but there are other ways in, there are other connections into those subjects, you know, like the Pythagoras theorem or the way graphs work and things like that. And you learn it at school, and there you go, you know it. But there are so many connections between those things, which I never quite knew until I worked on the book.
Speaking with Tom Jackson, who is a writer and editor of the Ponderables series. Ponderables are 100 discoveries that changed history. Who did what when? A series of books that include mathematics, physics, the elements, the universe, philosophy right now, and in the future, the brain. You can learn more at our website, wvxu.org. And I noticed, Tom, you mentioned connections and how things were all fitting together. And as I was reading the Universe Ponderables book, I saw the thing about Foucault and his pendulum. And when I was reviewing the mathematics books, there's Foucault again. And you get to see these connections that, cross disciplines with some of these famous movers and shakers in science.
That's right. The publishers sometimes start pulling their hair out. They keep saying, you know, but they were in the, this was in the other book. But there are some, especially in the early days, there are in the early part of the stories, there are some amazing thinkers that really just, you know, what they discovered changed so much. So Descartes in the philosophy book, because he was thinking and therefore he was, and all that kind of, you know, his famous epigram. But he also invented basically graphs. He invented the way that we depict mathematical formula in the form of a line, and how we can turn a line into numbers. And he did that lying in bed, looking at a fly on the ceiling, as he was, you know, he was a particularly sickly person, so he spent a lot of time in bed, and did most of his work there, by the sounds of things.
You write about a wide range of subjects, as your bio says, everything from, what is it, Zolotls to Zoroastrianism, and you studied zoology at Bristol University, you worked in zoos. Well, where did the science bug bite you, Tom? I mean, what sent you on this path that sent you on the road to all these ponderables here?
Well, it has to. It was at school. I was a bit of a swot. Do you understand what a swot is? It's probably someone who did all their homework on time. I was one of them.
Okay.
So I just really enjoyed the teachers were able to make to describe really complicated things, or things that I thought were complicated, but I kind of knew it were there, like how an atom worked, and pretty quickly they could just explain to me how it all worked and how it all linked to everything from electricity to light and all of that kind of thing. And I was just thrilled to be able to have that knowledge. And as you say, I went on to do zoology at university, which was great fun, which was just sort of quite old school dissecting. Every week they'd give us something different to mess around with, you know, from ray fish to pigeons and, you know, all sorts and insects. And I just really liked, I think zoology was my pick back then because it was such a, they were the most complicated thing I could think of, and pretty much they still are. Animals and plants and life forms are still these incredibly complicated systems which can definitely fill the minds of thousands and thousands of researchers throughout the world every day. Since then, I've returned to the other sciences which I'd left behind going to college, and as I said, came across all these fun stories. To me, it's really the people. That's what really I really enjoy, is the people that did it and how they connect to each other, and also the ways they made their discoveries, because it's not all just sort of... often we get the idea that a scientist is a man or woman in a laboratory working away in a university, that sort of thing. But in the earlier days, they were doing some crazy things, like Joseph Priestley discovered how to dissolve carbon dioxide in water, which is soda water, effectively. He discovered that by dangling frogs and mice and insects over a brewing vat of beer, and the fumes that came off it were largely carbon dioxide. And so that's where he got his... So you know, when you next time you have a soda, you can think about those little animals that were suffocated in some carbon dioxide that led to your fizzy drink.
Oh, I will think about it now, Tom, every time I have a fizzy drink.
I'm sure they were fine. He just took them back out again to the air, and they were fine after that. They came around.
No animals were hurting them, the consumption of this soda. I'm speaking with Tom Jackson, who has a series of books out that look at discoveries that changed history. It's called Ponderables, 100 Discoveries That Changed History, Who Did What, When. It's an illustrated history of various scientific endeavors. There's mathematics, there is philosophy, there's the universe, there's physics, there are the elements, and it's available where books are sold. You can learn more at our website, wvxu.org. And I wanted to ask you as well, Tom, as you explore these different concepts and how these sciences have been built, as you mentioned earlier in the interview, you talk about how you bring it from ancient times up to present times. But you look at not only the ponderables where people have made these discoveries, but where we are today. And what do you call, what is it, the imponderables or imponderables?
Imponderables, yeah. They're the questions that are still to be answered. It's just a bit of fun. It's just, you know, predicting the future is a fool's errand.
Yes.
But I give it a go and try to figure out what are the big questions that might get an answer soon. Yeah, I mean, every science, every field of science has its unanswered questions, and increasingly those questions will grow as the science, it's called a scientific crisis, a science will accrue unanswered questions because the system, the model, the theories that it's based on aren't able to answer, increasingly aren't able to answer new questions. And eventually you reach a critical mass of questions that can't be answered. And from those unanswered questions, you get a paradigm shift. You get some amazing discovery, which just changes the theory, creates a new theory, a new model for whatever the science is based on. And all of a sudden, you can now start to answer those questions. So, for example, Einstein's theory of relativity or the Copernican theory of the orbits of the planets and Earth and that kind of thing. They were these great big shifts that came about because of these imponderables, because there were questions that needed answering and no one could figure out the answers using the systems that had worked so well until that point.
I know that a number of these books have been out for a couple of years now, and as I look at them and as I share them with others, people are swept into to learning about the sciences. Some go, oh, I knew that already, and I didn't know that. And really, as you say, from ages 8 to 80, I see that that reaction among the people I've run into. But what has been your experience in running into the people who have been touched by these illustrated histories of the sciences?
I've received a few letters, and people have been very kind and said they like them. So, stuck here in the UK, the book market is a completely different animal to in the US, and I think most of my readers are in the US and North America and other parts of the world, so I don't really get to see them very much, but I hear positive things, which is always good.
And I wanted to ask just before we have to part our ways, that as I was reading up on you, Tom, you talk about all these adventures you've been on and your writing experiences and your travels where you planted trees in Somerset and surveyed Vietnamese jungles. But you say, nowadays he can be found mainly in the attic. What's up with you in the attic, Tom?
It's the only space in my house where I've got enough room to do any work. So I've got a little office up here and I, you know, takes time to write books, so I spend a lot of time up here typing away. It's nice and warm. Don't worry, it's not just a roof with some ceiling slats. It's a proper room. This is where it all comes from.
And a good place, I guess, to get some work done without the kids interfering.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for your time, and thank you for all the stories you've included in your books, and look forward to the future, Tom. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed.
Tom Jackson, the writer and editor of Ponderables, 100 Discoveries That Changed History, Who Did What When. It includes mathematics and philosophy, the universe, physics, the elements, and in the not-so-distant future, perhaps the brain as well. Learn more about Tom and Ponderables on our website, WVXU.org, the book club at 91.7.
Right now, on the book club at 91.7, we're asking you, what book have you read over and over?
Hello, I'm Kate Lawrence from Mount Washington. I'm a big rereader. I like to read things over and over again. I always pick up the Sherlock Holmes stories. They're some of my favorites. I started reading them when I was probably 10 years old, and I still pick them up today. I never get tired of them. There's so many of them, you can always pick a different one, so you're not always reading the same story over and over again, but those are some of my favorites.
Hello, I'm Michael Link from Northside. One of the books that I've read over and over and over again is by David Benioff, who is currently well-known for scripting the Game of Thrones TV series with his partner, but it's called City of Thieves. And this book, it was one of the ones that I probably wasn't going to read, and just on a lark, I picked it up, and I couldn't put it down. It's historical fiction for people who don't think they like historical fiction. It's very fast-paced. You can tell he's a screenwriter by training. It's very cinematic. It's funny, but engages you right at the beginning and pulls you through the siege of Stalingrad, and it's fantastic.
So what's your answer? What book have you read over and over? Call 352-9188 with your answer. That's 513-352-9188 to leave a voicemail and answer the question, what book have you read over and over?
You're tuned to the Book Club at 91.7.